We're speaking with Jane Williams, chair of the Sierra Club National Clean Air Team. Jane, you were just mentioning how the Department of Defense decided to ignore the National Environmental Protection Act and burn PFAS chemicals instead of looking into other ways of disposing of them. Why do you think they decided to do this?
Well, I think that these chemicals are extraordinarily toxic and very dangerous, and they're sort of a hot potato to keep hanging on to them. And I would imagine that incineration was just the quickest way to pass on the hot potato.
And can we bring it back to the Norlite facility here in Cohoes? Can you explain what the Norlite facility is for our listeners that don't know?
The Norlite facility is actually not a hazardous waste incinerator. It is a lightweight aggregate kiln. And what it does under normal circumstances is it heats materials that it's taken out of the ground and fires them in a kiln and makes building materials out of them. That facility was never designed to be a hazardous waste incinerator, nor is it retrofitted with the types of pollution control devices that would have made it, you know, significantly reduce its hazardous emissions into the surrounding communities. It's one of only two lightweight aggregate kilns in the country that has permission from the host state to burn hazardous waste chemicals.
How is it, if it wasn't designed to burn hazardous waste, that they are allowed to burn hazardous waste?
Well, because your state has allowed it.
And why was Norlite facility located on Saratoga Street in Cohoes, selected to burn the PFAS chemicals?
Well, I don't know how it ended up on the Defense Logistics Agency's list of approved facilities. It is owned by Tre2Bee, and Tre2Bee is one of the contractors that DOD hired to get rid of the AFFF on the Eastern Seaboard. So I imagine that Norlite was chosen because it's a subsidiary of that original contractor.
Now that Sierra Club has filed a lawsuit on behalf of these various groups and locations across the country, what is the short-term, midterm, and long-term goal of this lawsuit?
In the short term, we would like to motivate DOD to end its shipments across the country, all across the country, to hazardous waste incinerators. In the medium term, we would like to be able to work with DOD to actually identify an alternative treatment technology that would not just disperse the chemicals, but would actually destroy them. That would be the midterm. And in the long term, we would like to see these chemicals cease being used, because they're obviously incredibly dangerous and very persistent, and they are bioconcentrating up the food chain and ending up in the next generation. So I think that the long-term goal is to, you know, seek more effective and less environmentally toxic fire suppressants for use in the military with the DOD.
So you said that per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, the PFAS, they're bioconcentrating. What does that mean?
They are going up the food chain so that they concentrate in organisms and animals at the top of the food chain. So unfortunately, the worst exposure scenarios is for a nursing infant, because these chemicals will be found in cord blood and breast milk. So, it's pretty widely known that virtually every child that's born in the world now is born with a pre-existing body burden of these chemicals, because they're so persistent. They don't break down in the environment, just like they don't break down in a smokestack. And they bioconcentrate up the food chain. And unfortunately for us, a nursing infant is at the very top of that food chain.
And what sorts of health effects do they have?
These perfluorinated compounds are one of the most dangerous health effects that are occurring at the lowest levels is actually they are suppressing the immune systems of children. They're also carcinogenic and, damage different organ systems. But the public health impact that's most alarming for such widespread contamination is the immune suppression in the next generation.
So for residents who live around the Norlite facility in Cohoes or who live downwind of it, like we do here in North Central Troy, is there any way to protect ourselves from these emissions? And is there any way to fight back and say we don't want these chemicals burned in our neighborhood?
Well, the state of New York has authorities. It has powers within its governmental architecture that it could ban the incineration of the chemicals throughout the state. And that would be the best way for people to protect themselves, because once you have spread these chemicals and release them in your environment, it's kind of like opening Pandora's box. They're extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, to round back up and, to try to get a hold of, because you've dispersed them over such a wide area, and because it's very expensive to like filter them out of water, or pick up contaminated soils, or stop eating contaminated fish. It's better to prevent the pollution in the first place. And luckily, the state of New York can do that. They can prohibit the importation of the chemicals for disposal into the state of New York, and ban their disposal either in landfills or through incineration.
And how would an everyday citizen go about trying to make that happen?
Well, from what I understand, you're not far from the state capitol. So it is in the state capitol that those kinds of decisions are made, both through local legislative action and through the action of your governor. Now, the governor, the administration of your state, has already existing authorities. They can do emergency rulemakings. They can use the imminent substantial endangerment provisions of the Clean Air Act and of the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. They have the ability, because your state has a delegated authority under those federal laws, to enact those kinds of things. I know that last year your state banned the use of training with firefighting foam, through an action of the legislature that was recently signed by Governor Cuomo. So I would say there's many paths. Some could be enacted and engaged in the very short term. Some would take a little bit longer. But all of them could protect these local communities that are now essentially on the front lines of PFAS chemical exposure.
And Jane, if anybody wants to get in touch with Sierra Club or wants to participate in this lawsuit, is there a way that they can do that?
Well, the lawsuit has been filed, and it's not really something you can participate in, after it's filed. It was actually filed in the Northern California District, because that's where the Sierra Club's national office is. So it'd be difficult for people in New York to attend hearings in the court and things like that. However, the Atlantic chapter, which is the relevant chapter for New York chapter of the Sierra Club, would certainly love to have people that wanted to get engaged in this. I think that NYPERG is also interested in either introducing legislation or pressuring the administration in your state to engage in emergency rulemaking. So both of those organizations have very strong, very powerful, very influential chapters in New York, both the Sierra Club and NYPERG.
Jane, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, and I look forward to hearing about how this lawsuit will play out.